Hey everybody, welcome to episode 12 of season 5 of Press X to Start. We here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, and bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigga Wood, California, aka the janitor because of Bewatch Niggas, aka I got my first doses of COVID shot and I'm waiting for my superpowers to start.
Hey.
Marcus Ellison.
You gonna grow a new penis?
About to get some privilege.
Both of those things I could use.
Grow some white privilege.
I am Sean MF Ross.
What does MF stand for?
Every monkey needs life alert.
Wait on the chest.
Wait a minute.
If you know, you know.
I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. the interstellar being, a.k.a. King Kong is the black boy.
I mean, I guess. I mean, sure.
Oh, y'all gonna find out more about that when we record that ramble.
And Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, a.k.a. The Outrider, a.k.a. Monkeys for Freedom.
I thought you guys were extinct.
And now that we've been all introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing. So tell us what you've been playing, DJ.
As I said, I'm the interstellar being. I have gone back to No Man's Sky. So before our last episode, I was talking about playing Monster Hunter Rise and so on and so forth. That's great. I'd still kind of peek in and out on that. I'm still playing the demo. I haven't bought the game yet. But No Man's Sky released the PS5 version. I was like, all right, this is the time for me to jump in and see what's happening now. I jumped in and I realized that I didn't have any of my saves from the PS4 version.
Oops.
Whoops.
And I was like,
they're not uploaded to the cloud?
It should be. I thought it was. But I think it's probably just...
You have to manually download them if you want to use it.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, what happened was I looked at it and I was like, this is the perfect time to restart this game. So I restarted No Man's Sky. And my experience from playing it now versus when I first played it, of course, it's been 4 years since then. And it's been 4 years of updates. And it plays great. On the PS5, it looks great. It runs at 60. And it feels so nice. When I first jumped in, I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I know what's happening. I just went off and start like collecting resources to fix my ship. I got so far out onto the planet, I turned around and realized I didn't look at my ship to actually signify the beacon. Not to see what I needed, but to signify the beacon. So I basically did not have a ship. Like, I felt like Matt Damon in The Martian, just like wandering out. I was like, oh my
god.
Did
you make any potatoes?
No, I did get like a green bean plant looking thing, and it said it was food. I didn't eat it because I didn't trust it.
I don't trust like that.
It was a weird thing. It was a very weird thing.
Maybe you were supposed to smoke it.
I didn't see the option.
It's not wrong. But
maybe
you would have got high enough to see a ship.
I would have really been the interstellar being. So the next day, because, you know, thinking 2021, thinking this is just a normal game, I stopped the game, played Gundam, you know, went to bed or whatever, woke up the next day, jumped back into No Man's Sky, and my save didn't, it didn't save. So I was kind of right back to square. I was right back to an outpost.
He was playing video games the way that we used to play video games.
Don't turn it off.
No, I was playing the video games how we play now, but not how back in 2016. So in No Man's Sky, you have to either reach an outpost or you have to reach a specific like milestone to get like an autosave.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely forgot about that. And I ended up back at an outpost, but like I was much closer to my ship and I actually found my ship this time. And I was like, oh, dope. This works. I don't even need the stuff that I was doing before. Fuck all that journey out in the wilderness.
There's no button to have a giant arrow on your screen to point you to where your ship's at?
Nope.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Did you investigate the control menu?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was all up in the guts. There's nothing in there. But once I got my ship, I was, you know, actually able to fly around and so on and so forth. And I really love this game because, like, I got off planet, I found another planet, and that planet was very different, but also kind of similar to the planet I was in before.
It was Viltrum.
And that was because they're part of the same... Because what?
It was, what was that?
What did you say?
Viltrumites? And they gave me that word.
No, it was because it's part of the same solar system. So, like, you know, life is kind of similar between the solar systems. But on this planet, I found a spaceship that was completely wrecked.
Mm.
But the spaceship was valued at, like, $4 million in, you know, No Man's Sky's currency, which is, like, amazing, because my ship was like maybe 150,000.
Yeah, that hoopty, huh?
So I was like,
you're right, nah. I was gonna say the same thing.
He stole it.
I was like, I want this ship right now. But like,
yeah, that box Chevy, nigga.
Yeah, I had a 2000 Corolla. But like, I was just sitting there.
Did anybody own it?
No, I mean, whoever owned it was dead by that time. It's mine now, shit. Wild Wild West out here.
I mean, maybe they went exploring and forgot to set a beacon, you thieving bitch.
Hey, they can come find me and talk to me if they want it back. I'm on a different planet, by the way, so fuck them. But yeah, so like, I literally sat down for about
Space Columbus.
No, I sat down for a solid 30 minutes and figured out, okay, I need to gather supplies to fix this ship because I want this ship. And that's what I did. And now I have a $4 million spaceship and I'm just chilling and I can go wherever the fuck I want.
My man came and fixed America up. Next game.
I mean,
if only this was Space Grand Theft Auto and somebody could roll up and jack his shit.
But there are space pirates. And I haven't encountered them before, so I don't exactly know how that works. And there's, you can get mechs in this game, guys. Like,
oh, well, of course, that's why you're playing the game now.
That sounds great, TJ.
You figured me out.
Hey, you know you can get a mech in Spelunky, too?
Really?
Yeah,
but you're lying to me, you motherfucker.
No. Dead ass. There is, like, a mech that you can use, and it, like, shoots laser beams or some shit. And it moves slow just the way you like it.
DJ, is it a mech or a power suit?
Oh, good question. I think it might be a power suit. I'm not exactly
sure. Shut up. What's the fucking difference? It's next.
You're right, Sean. There is no difference. Next game. All right. Who
DJ, did you also know that you can get mechs in Overwatch, which is what I've been playing?
I did not know that. Enlighten me, Marcus.
You're next, DJ. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm done with the Monster Hunter Rise. I don't really got anything to say.
Good, because it's trash anyway. Marcus.
Let's hear about Overwatch.
No, yeah, I just play more Overwatch because that's what I always play. Played with Sean.
Nice.
It wasn't... I know it was once, but did we play multiple times this week or was it just the once?
Yeah, because we played by ourselves and then the next day, I think, with Annie.
Right. So, yeah, we linked up, played a few times. Fun as always. Okay. I was gonna try out It Takes Two this week with Avery, but due to some technical difficulties on his side, we had to call that a wash. So I just went ahead and bought the game. So I'll have impressions of that next week. But yeah, that's really it. I haven't played anything else except for Overwatch. So I'll pass it off
to me. So longtime listeners may remember I started playing Celeste when it was free on the Epic Game Store. And looking back, I restarted it for whatever reason because it was free on Stadia. And I beat it within, the timer said about 8 hours. Mm. I think I was like two quote-unquote worlds away from like beating it. But those last two are rough.
Really?
Just dying left and right?
Yeah, I think my death counter was like 1,024.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So, I mean, you can see I don't mind dying in games, which is why
clearly.
I don't mind playing roguelikes.
Didn't seem like you had a choice.
Yeah. That's also why you don't mind playing Call of Duty, because let me die 1,000 times in Call of Duty and I've never played that game again.
No. You kill me a couple times, I'm coming to find you. Even if it's just one time.
Meet me in the gulag, ho.
Not even death will stop me.
It's just like in the old Street Fighter. I'm fucking up your perfect. You're not going to kill me and get a perfect. I'm going to take a chunk off of something. Take my pound of flesh.
I'm going to sweep you in the leg.
Right. No, but I finally beat this game. The overall themes of this game is overcoming depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
So the mountain, I'm guessing, is a theoretical mountain, you know, in your mind that you have to overcome to basically get out and you know, get over your fears.
A Sisyphean endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool game. I did not get all the strawberries. I was not pressed to do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I could.
I tried playing it, I think, this time last year when it was on Games for Cold. I did enjoy it, but I did, yeah, that game is very difficult, so I commend you for beating it.
Yeah, I was pretty much close to the end. I saw I had 8 worlds, and I was like, I'm going to do it. And I completed in 8 hours, apparently. So, yeah.
Wow.
I borrowed Mortal Kombat 11 from somebody. Oh. I am playing through this nonsensical story.
Wow.
This shit is... Apparently, Raiden turns evil. Liu Kang turns evil. Yeah. Kung Lao. It's just... No. They turn into evil zombies. It's just a whole bunch of shit. They have time travel in the game now.
As opposed to good zombies.
I mean, you know. But I'm going to get through this story. It's...
There's a good zombie, and I know I just can't remember.
Stubbs?
Yeah, there we go.
The Xbox game? I don't know. Rebel Without a Pulse? Whatever.
Technically, Deadpool's a good zombie.
There you go. Okay.
Sure.
Wolverine's a good zombie.
Get out of here. I'm going to beat this story mode. It makes no sense, but I've committed. And apparently, in the game, Scorpion and Sub-Zero have called a truce, and they're working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lin Kuei and Scorpion's people call the truce like the Bloods and the Crips.
So it was interesting to just see that in the game. Like, hey, why are they working together? But, you know, I'm going to get through this game. I actually started the Buddy Pass version of It Takes Two with my wife.
My wife.
And Ooh. This game is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah.
And just like Valhalla and just like Cold War, my cousin bought the PS4 version, so I'm playing the free PS5 version. I had planned on buying it, and I told him about it, and I said, play the demo first. And he just looked at the screenshots. He's like, nah, this looks lit. I'm buying it now.
Don't.
And I was like,
I wish I had a family member like that.
Right.
What'd you say, Jordan?
Don't let Jim Ryan find out. Oh, you'll God. Find a way. Like, you can't have an account on multiple devices. Buy a new account.
Generations.
What? Well, he doesn't have a PS5 yet, so technically this is his PS5. But no, but everybody should check out this game with either a partner, your wife, spouse, whatever.
Or even a stranger.
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, the co-op mechanics are actually pretty innovative. It's called, what is it, asymmetric co-op? So,
yeah, asymmetric multiplayer.
You know, both of you have to do things to help each other, so you can't just, like, one person just can't be bullshitting and watching the other person complete it. You know, one person is controlling like jumping points and whatever you want to call it. You know, they have vacuum sections where one person gets sucked into the vacuum. You have to aim it at something. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of craziness. I would just recommend trying it. So we haven't started playing it yet.
It makes sense that they by this being their third game in this type of genre, that they would have like found new and better ways to innovate. Considering that Brothers and then A Way Out had, you know, really, really impressive
co-op mechanics.
Tactics and mechanics.
Theme of this game allows them to do more with the mechanics because they don't have to be as grounded in reality compared to A Way Out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Love Guru?
That's a terrible movie.
He's obnoxious, but I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But I know we're gonna start this game pretty soon. Like we got the actual full game.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah. Next up,
all right,
Jordani.
Yeah,
I have been playing Outriders. Everything. Well, everything in a second. But yes, I have access. I feel like I have access to everything. But as the podcast progresses, we'll get to understanding the true ontology of Game Pass and where it is currently. But because I'm a Game Pass Ultimate owner, I was able to play Outriders for free on Xbox Series X.
So you can enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like this game is actually way better than I originally perceived, is the best way I can put it. Because People from the Sky was behind Bulletstorm, which is a pretty fascinating first-person shooter that came out, like, about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they did some support of Gears.
Fun game.
Yeah, they did some support on Gears of War. So when it comes to cover-based shooting, like, they kind of know what they're doing. But there are some floatiness to the controls right now that I hope get tightened up in the future. But, yeah, it's a pretty fun cover shooter that I haven't played as such before. Because I played Gears of War, I've played Division, and both of them are pretty specific, but still very much so tight to sticking around in one position. Mm-hmm. While in Outriders, you got to fucking move. And you have powers that allow you to move pretty freely. I'm using the Striker class.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you mean the Trickster?
Trickster class.
Okay.
So, like, yeah. I'm able to warp behind people with, like, shotguns and just shoot them in the back and warp away. Freeze mm-hmm. time. Have, like, this crazy whip that, like, turns into a fucking skeleton. You just shoot it up full of bullets.
Yeah, and they turn them back. Yep.
So, I mean, like, this is a pretty fun game so far, and as people will continue to play it more as they get the server issues out the way, because so many people are playing it over the weekend, more people are starting to understand that being able to play this game, you know, for free through Game Pass, it's one hell of a steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know what type of deal that Microsoft made with the developer, but you know, if this becomes a trend where third party games are releasing day and date on Game Pass, then I'd expect usership to continue to trend upward. So, you know, the story's fine. You know, a pretty generic sci-fi story for the most part. It has some interesting moments. I do like, you know, you
in like what?
Well, like you ending up in the future, you know, after being comatose, and like, you know, even though humanity, you know, like was trying to escape the Mad Max world of Earth, they, you know, they still find a way to be all Mad Max, but with
their
crazy
own Mad Max world.
I know, yeah, fuck yeah. It. If there's a planet, we shall be Mad Max on it, is what the story is. So
it's a human condition.
I'm very excited to finally unlocking the truck thing and customizing that, you know, and see. It's like me going to different biomes and that, so I'd imagine by next week I'll be to that point. Okay. But overall, I'm really enjoying this game.
I'm glad. Good.
I also played, seeing I'm not near my Xbox right
actually,
now.
Actually, real quick, uh-huh. Before you jump, a question. Have you done any, like, multiplayer, or have you just been doing single player the entire time?
I've been doing single player the entire time. I mean, like, you know, I've seen a whole bunch of people on my Xbox friends list playing it. But, yeah, like, I don't know if anyone's partied up as of recently, because, like, I think people are trying to reach a point to do it, because, you know, what is great about this game is the world system. You're able to change the world system on the fly.
Yeah.
Compared to Division, you'd have to reach to a certain level and then you're upgraded to the next world, like, you know, Division World 2, 3, and 4. But this one, you're able to swap worlds for better loot anytime within the level. That's something that they have learned and wanted to improve upon. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I am excited to finally play co-op. So I'll probably hit up some people over next weekend to see if they're down for some co-op play.
Bet.
But yeah, I also played Donut County, which is on Game Pass. I played it via the cloud on my Android phone. It's a pretty funny game.
Like, okay, I'm gonna say, because I played that on my phone.
Yeah, no, I played, I was like, it's on Game Pass on the cloud, on X Cloud. So I was just like, basically you control a hole that gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Phrasing.
You know, cause all types of chaos and stuff. But it's a pretty funny story though.
Control the hole.
But in all honesty, it took me like 5 hours to beat it. So if you ever,
yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, so like it was a fun game just to play over the weekend. You know, pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Another Game Pass game is Wreckfest, which is basically the golden era of Dirt, in my opinion. The car physics in Wreckfest is phenomenal. I'm pretty sure it's made by some European company based on its presentation and how they view American country culture. But it has
is there a lot of EDM in the game?
No. A lot of like garage rock, you know, because like they're trying to get like a rustic,
I see,
like Americana feel. And the game has some charm, like no story. You know, you're just some dude driving the car, crashing it. There's like, you know, demolition races. Straight up demolition derbies. You have a sofa with wheels on it. So you have a sofa race of a giant composter driving around fucking up everybody.
Yeah.
And also the draw to the game is the vehicle physics, to which you're just like, you can easily spin out and wreck other cars and destroy your engine over the course of a race. So that's pretty fun. And the final game I played is Bridge Constructor, which is also on Game Pass. And it's basically, well, Bridge Constructor Portal Edition. And they actually got the voice actor said
that. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you said bitch constructor. No.
Bridge constructor. I mean,
he did, didn't he?
Bridge constructor portal edition. And they had the actual voice actor that voiced Alice from the original Porter series come back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very fun. It's basically Bridge constructor with portals, playing it on my phone via Game Pass Cloud, xCloud. And it's, you know, it's pretty fun.
Mm.
So
I played it. I just haven't finished it. I probably did like the first couple bridges that you're supposed to make.
Yeah.
So like, for that game, is it just like it's like stage by stage where you have to make a bridge from point A to point B and complete whatever tasks or whatever?
This time they integrated portals. And the fun thing about Game Pass, like when I play a game on my phone, I'm able to take it to my TV when I get back home so I can continue playing Wreckfest and all this stuff pretty seamlessly. So yeah, I probably play it on a bigger television when I get back. See if it improves the experience, but I am enjoying it so far.
Nice.
Okay. Well, that is what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we are going to have a word from our sponsors, our YouTube channel, NIG. Be on the lookout because we are doing a ramble slash review on Godzilla versus Kong. And I know some of y'all have been waiting to hear it. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be very disrespectful.
Yeah.
To Godzilla.
Okay. Yeah, well, he wasn't the one that got disrespected. That's all I'm saying.
Godzilla got peace. Anyways.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits.
Number one, this comes from VGC. In a few hours, Outrider has already tripled Avengers' peak Steam player count.
Going out sad.
So, yes, these numbers are directly from Steam. It doesn't equate for any of the console players or whatever. But Avengers was released by Square Enix on September 2020, but lukewarm reviews and a slow uptake meant its all-time peak numbers for players on Steam was just 31,000. Jesus, 31,000.
The caveat of that is Steam players actually had to pay for it. They had to pay for the game. Because the game's only free on Game Pass. So that means people actually paid for it on Steam.
Well, I mean, PlayStation people had to pay for it too, right?
Yes. Anything other than Game Pass, you had to pay for it.
Yeah. Whereas Outriders has already shattered that with their player count hitting 111,000. Jesus Christ. 111,000, guys. 111,000.
Numbers are hard.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the ones and the twos just confuse me. Avengers only has around 1,400 player counts currently. So, doesn't seem like the update for them really had people sticking around. Number two, this comes from interactive.org. The 24th annual Dice Awards finalist has been revealed. It's a lot, so you can go online and check it out. The reason why we bring this up, because the hosts for the event are Greg Miller, Jessica Chobot, and Khalif Adams. So big ups to him.
Hey!
I haven't heard from Jessica Chobot in years, though. I remember when she was basically immortalized in Mass Effect 3 back in the IGN days.
Yep.
So, I'm glad she's doing well. I mean, I thought she disappeared.
She's still putting out content, though. Like, she is
streaming.
I forget what outlet she's on, but, like, she does hosting stuff, I believe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I do want to bring up, though, with the finalists being revealed for the Dice Awards, that,
number Last three, this comes from two, PlayStation.
Boy!
I mean, I guess
it's a good game after all, isn't it, DJ?
But so is Animal Crossing New Horizons. Boy!
I got like three nominations.
What's going on with PlayStation Plus?
PlayStation Plus. Thank you, Jordan. This comes from PlayStation Blog. The games for April includes Days Gone, Oddworld Soulstorm, and Zombie Army 4 Dead War. And you can play all these games starting April 6th.
Well, so I already completed Days Gone. Finally, everyone will be able to experience Deacon St. John's grumbling.
Sounds great.
Angry man yelling at Cloud.
I might check it out.
Can't wait to play Boomer! That game.
Wait, is this also the PS5 version available to PlayStation Plus or just the PS4
version?
No,
it's just PS5.
The only PS5 game Oddworld
is for PS5. Yeah, the other ones are for PS4 and you can play it on PS5. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be playing Oddworld day one, though.
Yeah, I'll try that out and see what it's like. Number four, this comes from Pure Xbox. Microsoft directs the blame to Activision for Tony Hawk's Xbox Series X issues. We covered this clusterfuck of a update from the previous consoles it's so weird to say right now. Anyways, Microsoft is basically saying like, hey, it's not our fault. It's Activision's fault for having this like fuckery system going on. So yeah, there's that.
Activision was trying to double dip those that actually paid for it before the consoles came out, because I believe Tony Hawk did come out before the consoles did. And like, hey, if you really want it, $10 both ways. So
yeah. Number five, this comes from Insomniac Games Twitter. Ratchet and Clank, the 2016 version, will be playable at 60 FPS on PS5 after a new update in April as a part of Play at Home campaign. So this is just, you know, they said that they're going to release this update in April, but they actually got it out a few days earlier than that. So a lot of people was excited to get a little present on the present. So that's awesome.
Hopefully you downloaded it. They stopped giving it out free at the end of March.
Yeah.
I have no reason to return to this. I platinumed it.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't platinum the game. I know that for sure. Number six, this comes from The Gamer. Marvel's Avengers MCU costumes will be available via Marketplace, previously stated as in-game rewards. And this is Marvel's Avengers, guys.
They still run with the weird fucking currencies that Star Wars Battlefront used to run at. Three separate currencies. Mm-hmm. One you purchase, one you earn over time, and one you trade in for the ones you're going to purchase based on ones you... It's fucked up and stupid, and they haven't learned, so they'll figure it out soon.
This is delightful.
You can hope.
Yeah. Either they figure it out or they don't. Failure is a great possibility over the next 2 years with this game.
This is literally the same playbook that happened with Anthem. This game is not going to survive until, like, I don't think we're going to get Spider-Man in this game. No. I don't think that's going to happen. No. I don't think.
Let's see if we even get to Black Panther.
You might get Spider's Man.
Black Panther, yes. But yeah, no, Spider-Man and anything else in Black Panther, like, Black Panther would be like they're bowing out.
It sucks for all the people who were as excited for the suit and to now it be a Marketplace thing. That sucks. But... The game sucked, okay? It was kind of fun to play, but there's too many issues in the game, and this is a result. They should have listened to the fan. Whatever. Anyways. Number seven. This comes from Marvel Games on Twitter. Basically, they're
the
introducing...
The better Marvel game.
Yeah, pretty much. They're introducing another Spider-Man Miles Morales suit to the game to go alongside with their latest update. So, if you're still playing that, or if you want to play with that, get the update, get the new suit, play it, and be happy. Number eight, this comes from PC Gamer. CD Projekt has decided to reconsider the Cyberpunk 2077 multiplayer.
They threw that joint in the trash.
Yeah.
Shambles.
People.
Kobe.
I'm not surprised.
Lead designer left. People are leaving under the lead designer. Funding is kind of fucking weird. They're waiting for the lawsuits to go through. So no, they don't have any leeway to expand this game in that direction. They don't have any bandwidth nor resources. So yeah, the fate was sealed like a few months ago.
Absolutely. And I am not surprised at this. I'm not shocked by this. They just Okay, so they released their update patch 1.2 or whatever, but already people are starting to find like
a whole bunch of bugs. With it.
Yeah, and it's just like, god damn, dude.
It's like one of the weirdest. Like that's the third time it's fucking happened. Like, you know, they released a patch and would cause more issues because teams within their department are communicating with each other. They're not testing shit before they release it.
I think there was hundreds of bugs that they fixed.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous.
That's the patch insane. Notes
was 12 pages long. That's
they got to throw that whole game in some rice, bro.
Number 9. This comes from the BBC. Not that BBC. Police bust world's biggest video game cheat operation. So, this is interesting because...
Game Shark?
You've aged yourself.
Game Shark got absorbed to some tech company, but that's not a wrong assumption.
Yeah, so this is kind of crazy because the gang designed and sold cheats to popular video games, including Overwatch and Call of Duty Mobile. Roughly $76 million in revenue was made by the organization, which charged a subscription fee to clients.
I can understand Overwatch. Why are you paying for cheats for Call of Duty Mobile?
Call of Duty Mobile might have equal or larger amount of use just because it's on the phone. Like, strictly because it's on the phone. Wow.
Call of Duty Mobile is big. It's surprisingly big for the fact that there's not much coverage or conversation in the U.S. or in the mainstream about the game. But, like, yeah, it's
huge. Yeah, worldwide is huge.
Yeah. So police seized assets worth $46 million, including several luxury cars.
Part of me wouldn't be surprised if this company was also into Bitcoin mining, because these same, like, you know, cheat companies use multiple accounts to mine Bitcoin and shit like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So the operation was called Chicken Drumstick, which had a website selling to hundreds of countries and regions.
Is that racist?
Now, if it said fried chicken drumstick.
You guys are projecting.
Number 10. Fortnite April Fool's skin stalks meme guy. His name is Diamond Hands, and he is an actual playable character in the game, in the marketplace. Yeah. You can get him.
I never heard of
cool. The meme subreddits and the Wall Street Bets subreddits do not approve of this guy.
No. So, yeah, that's that. If you're playing Fortnite, if you want to see what this is, if you're playing Fortnite, you've already seen this. So, number 11.
Right, comes from basically. Xbox.
Yeah. Incredibly, Sony is bringing MLB The Show 21 or 2021 to Xbox and Xbox Game Pass. Well, to Xbox, and Xbox is putting it on Xbox Game Pass.
That means that Doug's about to get Xbox Game Pass, because he's the only person I know who plays baseball games.
If Doug wants to get an Xbox Series X, they have a whole bunch of those out there nowadays in the wild.
I wonder why.
Hey, so, this is one of those things going to bring people to buying it.
This is actually really big news because, as anyone can guess, this push was not made by Sony. This push was made by the developers that made the game. And the publisher,
they basically... MLB.
MLB
is the publisher. Sony Interactive Studios is a developer.
No. Sony's the publisher. MLB will be publishing the game on Xbox.
Right.
But on Sony, it's published by Sony or PlayStation or whatever. But like at least from what I've heard, the push was made by the developers. They basically was like, hey, we want to put this out on multiple platforms. Yeah. And Sony was like,
no.
Okay. I mean, Sony didn't really have a choice in the matter because MLB is such a big franchise and it's the number one baseball game. So they had the weight to throw around.
Admittedly, I didn't know that they were multiple baseball games.
You played too much Last of Us, Marcus. That's why. All right, number 12. It's the last and the least bit of news. This comes from The Gamer. Balan Wonderworld debuted at under 2,100 copies in Japan. Now,
I call this.
Let it be known. I think we all called this one. You're the one that played the demo, Sean. I didn't even get that far.
Well, Their big mistake, like it says in the article from the Gamer, they released it on the same day as Monster Hunter Rise. In Japan, Monster Hunter is huge. Like,
they also released that game not good, so.
yeah, that's
Balan, I wonder how this game was made.
World.
Hey, it says the art style is cute and these studios usually make great games. Something happened though. Something happened though.
Oh man.
That's what the article is.
King Kong should have beaten Godzilla, but something happened though.
Hey, don't be digging on our man King Kong like that, all right?
Is this your king?
He has something to protect, unlike Godzilla. But yeah, so you know, we laugh and joke, but in terms of
that sucks for all the people who put in hard work in the game.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to realize like none of this stuff is shaping up how it should shape up. And if it should shape up like this, then maybe this industry isn't for you.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's harsh, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, this is like the actors following the direction of the director.
True.
So, I mean, there's a lead programmer or somebody producing the game, and they put their stamp of approval on it like, mwah, this is fine. Like, so don't blame the developers. They did what they were told. You know what I mean?
There's too much salt in this potato. No, I want the salt in the potato.
You are absolutely right, Sean. You are absolutely right. It is not on the developer. Same thing with Cyberpunk. It is all in the higher up chair. That's who you should be mad at, not the ones that were just doing their job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, DJ, how many times do you play through a game during the testing of it? Somebody played through this shit multiple times and was like, yeah, this is cool. This is fine.
Yep.
So,
yep. You're not wrong. Mm. You're not wrong. With that, that's it for the quick news. Quick news, yes. Quick hits.
The quick news. Make way for the quick news. And now it is time for the heavy hitters.
I could do this one. All right. So we kind of touched on it with, you know, anytime we talk about Xbox for the last 3 months or so, and then also MLB doing the thing on Xbox Game Pass. Essentially, we just want to have the conversation of PlayStation exclusives versus Game Pass. Basically, can PlayStation counter Game Pass? And if they can, how? If they can't, what do they do?
Mm-hmm. Well, no one should ever consider Sony in a disadvantaged position at this moment. Sony has a comprehensive, deep library of exclusive titles that are world renowned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they have a pretty significant market share that was built over the eighth generation, being the PS4 and Xbox One. And, you know, surprisingly, the Wii U is still considered a eighth generation game. But I said this in the past, Sony and Microsoft are two giant cruise ships, and what suggestions you make in terms of their course won't be known for many, many miles.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing in Sony's leadership at this very moment, because I think what we're experiencing in Sony right now is based on a previous Sony leadership, but what I'm seeing in Sony's current leadership, being Jim Ryan, is akin to Xbox's former leadership.
Yes.
Back in like the 2014 era of things, mm-hmm. in terms of how they communicate things and how they talk to their fans. So that's my take currently, but I know everyone else does.
So real quick, just to jump on what you said about old Sony versus new Sony, I just want to add into there. I think you're right in terms of, well, we are seeing pie slices of new Sony in terms of Jim Ryan having a Japan studio shut down, in terms of, I'm saying Jim Ryan because he's the head of all of this. I'm not sure if it's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but anyways, we had that. And now we have the PlayStation Store shutting down, which in my mind, like a lot of people are saying like, okay, well, right now on Xbox side, you have Xbox adding to the Xbox experience, whereas you look at PlayStation and on the face of it,
away.
Yeah, it looks like they're taken away from the PlayStation experience. Where
it just looks like that.
So that's the thing.
Well, go ahead.
I feel like this can either go two ways. This can go the way of Jim Ryan looking at the money it takes to keep all of the stores and stuff going for the PS Vita and the PSP, seeing that, like, okay, we can take that money and shuffle it somewhere else to make the PlayStation experience better.
Right.
Or they're cutting that stuff off, knowing that they're going to put that stuff in the PlayStation Now and really try to boost up PlayStation Now to compete with Game Pass. But
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is the last thing. But I feel like that's not going to be a good move for PlayStation, because Sony or PlayStation can't necessarily compete with Microsoft's money.
No, they cannot.
Yeah. So Microsoft is like, Sony, you have a Game Pass. Great. We're going to start getting Call of Duty on Game Pass because we can just throw them money. And like, that's not a competition that I think Sony wants to get into.
Yeah.
PlayStation Now, I just looked at it. It has access to PS2, PS3, and PS4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Game Pass, in which you can play current. I mean, can you play... Do they have Xbox Series X games on there yet?
Yes, they have.
Okay, so they have current.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to look it up right now, the number of Game Pass games. But Sony has over 800 games that you can play. They just don't market it well, and I'm not quite sure why.
It's really weird to me that PlayStation Now is called PlayStation Now, and it's so indebted to the past.
That's very weird. That's a very good point.
When I was looking at videos, I wanted to make sure that I was over on PlayStation Now also, and they said one of the limiting factors of PlayStation Now is the streaming side of it. Not every game on PlayStation Now is streaming, but
Some of it downloads.
A significant enough is notable for it to be considered a heavily on the streaming side of things. Now, Sony can totally, I think, in my opinion, change that and allow for those legacy games to be downloadable. But at the same time, what Microsoft has done with Outriders, as an example, is Microsoft saying we can have a AAA title day and date. Like, we have the capabilities of having a AAA game debut, not just first party, because they do plan on having Halo Infinite on Game Pass, the next Forza, the next Fable, all their first party titles on Game Pass day and date. But the deciding factor are these third party studios that are saying, well, if Microsoft's going to foot the bill on cost of production, it'd be foolish for us not to take the opportunity for it. So it's not the first party that's deciding it right now, at least on Microsoft's side. It is the third party access.
So if I could chime in, I think, you know, earlier in your statement, you were saying that the problem with PS Now is that some games are available for download, some games are available for stream, and that, you know, if Sony wanted to, they could correct that and have just games available for download and kind of just do that.
They'd have to build an emulator.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So they can't necessarily do that, because when they built the PS5, they built it for backwards compatibility for PS4 only. And the whole PS3 and cell processor shenanigans. I think the split is like PS4 games are available for download, but PS3, 2, and 1 are streamed or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
But
it depends. Some of them, yeah.
Okay.
Well, but can I add one thing with what Jim Ryan said, that this goes to PlayStation's strength, but Jim Ryan is vehemently against having a first-party PlayStation game debut day and date on a subscription platform.
Yeah.
He believes that's antithetical to livability of it. I mean, like, it's odd, because I think that PlayStation would be in the best place to do it. Like, that would spur more subscriptions, because, like, there's more of a return on investment for, at least nowadays, on subscriptions than a one-to-one sale.
But where would they put that, on PlayStation Plus or PlayStation Now?
PlayStation Now. Like, they already have many PlayStation, like, you know, current generation PlayStation games on there.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I'm literally for that.
Yeah. I think the problem with PlayStation is that, much like us in our conversation about our content stream, PlayStation has a content stream problem where they're promoting PlayStation Plus and you get new games from PlayStation Plus, but then there's also a PS Now where there's new games that come to PS Now, and they don't want to mix up their audience base. So they don't want to have someone drop money in PlayStation Now when they should have gotten a PlayStation Plus subscription. So I think that's why they don't really promote PlayStation Now all that much. Or
remember,
they
Xbox merge their goal with the Ultimate account.
That's what I was going to get to. I feel
they're
like...
They're thinking hard, not smart.
Exactly. And basically what I'm saying is that I think what PlayStation needs to do is they need to copy what Microsoft did in terms of combining stuff together. Maybe PlayStation Plus increases by $10 or something like that to get access to PlayStation Now.
Plus Ultimate or Plus Newgrounds or whatever they want to call it, whatever name convention.
They need to do something like that to get more people to just look at PlayStation Now and see what's on there. Because like it's not going to necessarily compete with Game Pass, but I think at least that will make PlayStation Now a bit more digestible for a wider audience.
I think that like it's fair to kind of compare it to DC and Marvel, where, you know, right now Microsoft with the Game Pass feels like Marvel, where they've got something that's working and it's working for them like gangbusters. And Sony is hell-bent on dying on this sword of like, we are doing our own thing. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with copying something that works as long as you don't rip it wholesale. Right. You know, like find a way to still have your own, you know, autonomy. But like Game Pass works. This style works. It's clearly working. So just integrate that style into your thing and make it work for yourself instead of trying to like.
And to apply to that, Mark, is, you know, Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, he's not malicious in his intent. Like he
doesn't seem like
he
it.
He never comes off as, you know, we're going to be taking these games away from Sony customers. They're like, no, the Xbox ecosystem headed by Sarah Bond, gang, incorporates not only the consoles, but PC, TV, and Android market. So you have a system that does not require you to have a Xbox Series X or S to enjoy its benefit. It is a pretty equitable thing. Like it is a fairly equitable business style that doesn't shoehorn customers, unfortunately, like PlayStation has done, into like, all right, here's our newest thing. We need you to buy it. I'm sorry. We can't accommodate you. You know, if you don't have the scratch for PS5, then you're out. You're out of discussion.
SOL.
The
thing is, PlayStation is Sony's moneymaker at the moment. They don't make as much money as they used to off of phones, TVs, stereos, all that good stuff like they used to back
then. Wait, you telling me they don't have a Sony stereo? I got a Sony stereo.
No.
I'm about to turn mine on right now. Let's go.
Microsoft is still making money from a ton of other revenue streams. Azure, Windows, military contracts for the HoloLens.
And for reference, $22 billion is made off of the HoloLens for Microsoft.
They're also making money off of the vaccine, guys, because you know about the whole Bill Gates thing with the vaccine.
Shut your dumb ass up. So, I mean,
you sounded like your cousin.
In the ultimate run, like I said, they have enough money to throw at it until it works. You know, they can fail until they succeed. Sony doesn't have that luxury. That's why they have to not necessarily stay the course, but stay in their own lane and figure out what works for them. Yeah, they could probably borrow some stuff from Game Pass, but like Nintendo bowed out of the graphics game a long time, and they're just doing their own thing. You buy a Nintendo game for their exclusives, and Sony is pretty much trying to, I guess, emulate Nintendo more so. And that,
well, that is true. Sony,
Eastern mindset.
Their exclusives are their money makers. You know, you go to Sony for the first party, and that's the way it's been for the last like three generations, if not four.
But remember, Microsoft has put so much into their first party development with all the purchase of other studios, Bethesda. Because like, the Bethesda purchase was essentially for the sake of Game Pass. And
But
before Bethesda, though, what were their first party?
That's what I was going to say, because just, even with these purchases right now, we have to wait for Microsoft to start paying off on that first party stuff. Whereas Sony, they're still in the first party market. Like, they're still the kings of the first party. So
yeah, like to your point, yeah, currently Sony is still king, but to expect Microsoft to be a competitor 1 year, 2 years in time, because, like, you know, Halo's coming out and Forza's coming out, mm-hmm. and Fable's coming out, Starfield, like the return on investment that was now 4 years ago, we're about to see the impact of it. Like, that's the cruise ship analogy.
Yeah.
Like, that was all a part of when Phil Spencer came in.
I almost want to say that I think we might be venturing in territory where exclusives aren't going to matter. Because if you
they'll still matter to me, damn it.
if you remember back in the PS3 and Xbox 360 days, PS3 had the exclusives, and you know, when the exclusive ran on the cell architecture, whatever, they looked great. Uh-huh. But mm-hmm. the Xbox 360 just had the mindshare. And I think that's what
That had nothing to do with exclusive, though. That's because Microsoft jumped the gun and released the Xbox 360 a year early, and Sony's dumbasses released their shit at $500 to $600 just knowing that you were going to buy the shit, right. And then that reversed when the Xbox One and the PS4 came out.
Right, but what I...
It's more complicated than just the exclusives.
Yes, yes, but what I'm getting at is that I feel like the way that Microsoft is metering out their news and they're making these acquisitions, it definitely feels like Microsoft is trying to get that mindshare back, and they're not necessarily playing off of Halo being the big exclusive they're going to drop in the fall or whatever. They're more so saying like, hey, if you get Game Pass, you get Outriders. If you get Game Pass, you get MLB The Show now. Like, those are things that I think will slowly chip away at the whole idea of, no, I'm just going to wait for a PlayStation's exclusive. No, I'm just going to wait, because eventually it becomes the thing of, maybe I might just get Horizon on PC not get the PS5 and get Xbox.
That is one of the tougher aspects of adhering to the exclusive mindset, is like we saw it with the PlayStation 5, where when we were having a tough time getting them with all the scalper nonsense, we were just like, all right, I'm just going to wait till summer because that's when games start coming out. So like, if you're not on the ground floor with games ready, you know, people are just going to be like, all right, well, I mean, since Sony's about those exclusives, we'll just wait till the exclusives come out. Whereas with Game Pass, it's like, okay, you know, yeah, we are going to wait. We're delaying Halo and other stuff. We still got stuff down the pike, but here's all this other stuff you can have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you get a Series X or if you get the Game Pass, here it is.
And
so,
the other side to it. Oh, go ahead.
What this news this week had done was express that slowly Xbox is becoming the console for sports games. Because all the FIFAs are on there. They just had NBA 2K21 release on there a month ago. And like, that may be a message that Microsoft's willing to make deals with these publishers with EA, basically, that will have a day and date for new iterations of their sports games. And the sports market is pretty sizable in the video game space, especially FIFA.
I mean, if they got all the FIFAs, they definitely got the UK vote.
Oh, yeah. I think from FIFA 17 to 21 is available on Game Pass right now.
Wow. Mm. Wow. I mean, yeah, I think with all this being said, you know, news can break tomorrow or the day after that completely changes how you perceive the whole generational war or whatever that's going on right now. I feel like, you know, Sony and Microsoft, they're fighting for first place, but the distance between the first place position is maybe two or three games, if that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
it's not the lap that it was last season.
Exactly. Or even like the whole Xbox 360 and PS3 generation either. So I feel like, you know, as much as Xbox has the possible mind share or whatever, we don't know what Ratchet and Clank's going to look like when it drops. We don't know.
Amazing. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that game.
Here, yes, absolutely. Insomniac is probably one of the few studios that absolutely has my trust.
The real question is how good Halo Infinite is going to be this year, because all bets are for that game. It can't be below a 9. It just can't. So, like, I'm glad it took a whole year to give it polish and give it more resources internally, but that game cannot underperform or it's going to be terrible. You're absolutely right.
I agree with you. The game can't underperform. I think the game can get away with being like an 8.
I don't know.
Because I think right now, we're playing in the mindset of this exclusive has to hit. Where I don't think that's necessarily what Microsoft is really going for.
Of course. They
have this exclusive in terms of, yes, we know that there is a very, very big and dedicated fan base that wants this game to be great.
Like, but Halo's the exclusive for Microsoft.
Well, Gears is a close second, and Forza is a solid third place.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, Halo is what brought Microsoft to the dance for the gaming side of things.
Yeah.
I think Halo is going to be the interesting test case to see, like, you know, Cyberpunk had all this fanfare. It released. It was a hot mess, and it still continues to be a hot mess.
Right.
And it's just like 343 was like, oh no, let's pull the game back and we'll fix
it. Yeah, they pulled it back a whole year and they added more resources to it. The Coalition is running side support with it. So, like, right. I'm very confident in that game being at least a 9, but it can't be below a 9. Like, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be
great. Because it, on a comparison standpoint, it'd be like if, like, God of War Last of Us came out and it was, like, not good. Mm-hmm. Or at least, like, if Last of Us or God of War came out at a 7, then that would be a real bad look for Sony. Other games, maybe you can get away with it, but, like, when you got your, like, cash cow, but, like, you know, the one that people are like, this is what we're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then,
I mean, there was absolutely no Gundams in Last of Us or God of War, so it kind of faltered a little bit in terms of the score, but it was still a fine game. This is a fine game.
Shut up.
I'm just pulling up a story right now. Microsoft just added more resources to Halo Infinite, another co-developer. So three different developers are working on that game. So that's pretty incredible how much resources they're putting behind it. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I think overall, Halo is going to be a factor in terms of how well Xbox is perceived in terms of, all right, well, do they actually have good exclusives? Mm-hmm. But I just think in the background, you have Game Pass just building and building and building until like a...
Yeah, Game Pass gets a chance to carry the weight while Microsoft is like, all right, for our console... Let's make sure that our exclusives are A1, but we still got Game Pass to fall back on. Whereas Sony, on the other hand, doesn't so much have that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and for point of reference, Halo 5 did get a 9 out of 10 from IGN.
Oh.
So it's not like, it wasn't like it was terrible, but.
I mean, IGN also gave Cyberpunk 20. I was like,
so it's like the story of Halo, and I'll just make this short. But yeah, the story of Halo is fans wanted to have a resurgence of this game. Being back to was Halo 1 through 3 Prime, which is yet to release. I mean, it rates well, but fans really wanted this game to be good, so I'm pretty sure Phil Spencer and company caught one of that and pushed it back a whole year. Keep it in the oven. I'm not trying to eat raw food.
Unless it's sushi.
Unless I was going to say,
unless it's sushi.
Or ground beef. Speaking of ground, and this has been another episode of Press and Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review your favorite podcasting apps and our YouTube and IG channels, because every little bit helps and counts. If you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Next time you hear from us, we will be talking about how King Kong was wrongfully mistreated in Godzilla vs. Kong.
Hey, man.
Yeah, he was wrongfully treated, all right, by these hands.
So was Godzilla. Godzilla got smacked around.
I thought
like
you were going to accept this gracefully.
Yeah, nigga.
This is gracefully.
Kong just wanted to go home with his family, and Godzilla was like, no, you can't come to this neighborhood. Like, what neighborhood? This is Earth. Like, no.
Don't you know I'm the king of monsters?
He was going to his doorstep, and Godzilla was like, no. Out in these streets. Come on.
Well, that being said,
I'm going home. This is my home now. Yeah, bitch.
Welcome to Hollow Earth, nigga. But, yeah. All until right. Then, y'all.
Peace.
Uno out.